Dave and Darren. A morning show that you can hear every weekday morning on Planet 93.9. And what we do is we take the very best parts, the top five things of that show, and we present them here in this forum. It's time for another Dave and Darren's Top Five Things podcast. My name is Dave, and this is my partner, Darren.
Hello, friends.
We'll get into it
with number one.
Let's do it.
Number one.
Cheaters are having a year this year. 2022 might be the year of the cheater. And I'm not talking about Adam Levine. I'm talking about people who cheat at competitive pursuits. There's this chess story that we keep going back to, where the chess master is accusing his opponent
and
of
won't
using...
won't give it up.
Yeah. Norwegian Magnus Carlsen lost to American Hans Niemann at a match down in St. Louis last month, and he withdrew, saying, you know, I think there's some hanky-panky going on, and the story seems to be, the allegation at least is, that somehow the kid who won had something shoved up his butt that made him a better player. Now, it's worth pointing out that these accusations are against a kid who has admitted to cheating twice while playing in online events. But he says, face-to-face, he's never cheated. But once you're a cheater, you're always a cheater, right?
Yep.
So, honestly, I don't have a dog in that fight. They both sound awful. Now there's this poker story that happened over the weekend where top-level U.S. poker players are at each other. High-stakes game being held at the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles, California.
Classy.
The Hustler Casino? What? Welcome to the Beaver Hunt Poker Room. Robbie Jade Lou stunned the table by appearing to successfully call a semi-bluff by her opponent, Garrett Adelstein. She called an all-in bet by her opponent, risking her chips with an underwhelming hand, apparently convinced that her opponent was bluffing, and then she ended up getting a pot that had grown to $269,000. When you watch it, it just seems like he's bluffing, she knows he's bluffing, and then she wins, but he's just...
Like, there's no way you know I'm bluffing.
That's what it comes down to. He's like, there's no way you would have done this unless you were cheating. And while the live stream is happening, the guys who are doing the play-by-play for the poker are also going, this doesn't make any sense. What's happening here? And then they got into it on camera and off camera. She ended up returning this guy's chips because she said she was threatened. She's now challenging him.
You don't do
him.
That.
No.
You don't return the chip.
No.
Tough.
She's now challenging her opponent to a head-to-head match, saying, after I'm vindicated, let's go heads up. The whole world can watch me read you all day.
Ooh.
He tweets back saying that he had clearly been cheated, claiming his...
Because you lost?
His suspicions were confirmed by reviewing previous play footage of
Maybe
of
there's
her.
The distinct possibility you lost, loser.
He speculated that she might have been wearing a vibrating device that was used to communicate information to her, although he conceded it was impossible to know. Match organizers there at the Hustler are investigating, stressing there's no proof yet of any wrongdoing. And then there's this story over the weekend in Cleveland, a pair of competitive fishermen.
That's right. Something I know a little bit about.
Accused of stuffing their catches with lead weights to make them appear heavier than they were.
They've been doing it since they've been fishing. Since there's been fishing competitions, people have been putting weights in fish.
This was a cash prize of $30,000.
Sure.
Organizers in Cleveland called into question on Friday the results of the Lake Erie Walleyes Trail event, the final event of the season, in which Chase Kaminsky and Jake Runyon of Cleveland claimed victory. But the video that's gone viral shows an official at the weigh-in slicing open the fish and pulling lead balls out. And then people just start screaming. The crowd wants blood.
And not fish blood.
No. They're shouting at this Runyon character who just is absolutely quiet as the ruse is discovered. And now...
This is no Funyon, Runyon. Yeah, because typically they release the fish. They don't typically kill the fish.
The duo's previous victory is now being called into question. Local media saying that these two were disqualified as winners at an event last year because one of them failed a polygraph test.
They're polygraphing the fishermen?
After the fishermen get back in, they go to a tent where they are given a lie detector test.
It looks like a concussion tent, but it's not. It's...
Right. Welcome to the tent of truth. Can you pass the trial?
Of course you can't.
I would be way more into watching this competitive fishing if you told me that I could also watch the polygraph test at the end of...
Probably not every weighing, but just whenever they feel like, wait a minute.
Something doesn't add up here.
I don't like the look of this guy.
At that time, Runyon denied that the two of them were guilty of any wrongdoing. Okay. Neither he nor Kaminsky has publicly commented on these allegations.
Sure.
But
the fish just swallowed those weights.
When you watch the video, the cops show up, and it's a good thing because the cops save these guys' lives. I'm not joking.
The crowd's going to tear them apart.
It was full on, yeah, like they were coming for those dudes.
Wow.
Yeah. Not great. Here come the cops. We got to run to the cops. We got to get out of here. Cheese it. It's the heat. We got to go.
Who's going
to
provide protection?
Right? So, just... There's just an awful lot of cheating going on. Or alleged cheating. Or allegations of cheating that are unfounded. I don't know what to tell you. The lead balls one is easy to figure out. Because when the guy grabs the fish, slices it open, and pulls the lead ball out...
Doesn't look good.
Yeah, that I don't have to really question. That I can wrap my brain around.
Number two.
Hancock County, Indiana. Looks like it's not that far from Indianapolis.
Okay.
So it's in the Indianapolis, Carmel, Anderson, Indiana metropolitan statistical area. They're in the news because this woman... is accused of stealing $2,000 from a corn stand over the course of several weeks. A Greenfield, Indiana woman accused of taking money from a self-serve corn stand.
That someone has like out in their front yard.
Like an honor system corn stand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She's accused of taking money from the self-serve stand corn stand over the course of several weeks, resulting in a $2,000 loss for the business owner. Police investigation began on September 4th when the Hancock County Sheriff's Department spoke with the corn stand's owner. The owner told police that she runs the self-serve stand with her family in front of their home.
Mm-hmm.
The stand works on the honor system, with customers expected to leave cash inside a money bin in the mailbox.
Now, have you ever used one of those?
I've never even heard of such a
thing. Oh, you've never seen a thing?
No.
Oh, they're out in the country.
What sort of candy land are you living in that you're not going to get money stolen from you? I don't understand this. This is a common thing, people will do that.
Yeah, they'll put produce out in the front yard, and a lot of times it's just like a coffee can that they'll have, and you take what you're going to get. They probably have a suggestion as to what things cost.
Okay.
And then you just take your produce and leave behind the money.
I guess.
Although I don't know that I would. Well, she didn't steal the $2,000 at one time.
Over the course of a couple of weeks.
She considered it easy pickings.
According to the probable cause affidavit, the owner told police she caught a woman taking money from the stand on her security video.
Yeah, that'd be easy enough to find.
Told police it happened at least twice. The owner put the woman's photo on Facebook and asked the community for help identifying the thief.
Yeah.
Family members identified the woman.
You can tell the difference between putting money in a coffee can and taking money from a coffee can.
Yeah.
with your Ring doorbell.
Family members identified the woman as Teresa Kiner, a 67-year-old of Greenfield, Indiana. Oh, we know her. That's our Aunt Teresa.
Oh, yeah.
She's the one taking money from your corn stand.
Yeah, sticky fingers.
The owner told police that Kiner herself called on September 3rd and asked the police if they could take her picture off of Facebook.
Quit doing this.
There's a picture of me on Facebook, and I don't like that. Would you take it down, please?
I ate too much corn.
She... Exactly.
Being stopped by the cops literally scared the crap out of her. She told police, quote, I pooped my pants. I ate too much corn.
And took too much money.
She reportedly denied taking the money at first and then told the owner that she had returned $90 back to the money bin.
Out of $2,000.
Yeah, I don't know what you're complaining about. I gave you 90 bucks back. When police were handed over the security video from the stand, detectives say they counted 18 separate instances from August 28th to September 3rd where Kiner allegedly took corn from the stand
and
then helped herself to money from the money bin. I'm taking the money, and also, I could use some corn. Although, I guess you've got to take corn to make it look like
you're... Yeah, make it look like you paid for... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but you're grabbing a little over 100 bucks each time.
18 instances.
Boy, she's here a lot.
In one video, there's audio of her counting the money.
God. I would think that if you were going to put an honor system produce stand in your front yard, you might as well make mention that, by the way, friends, there's a camera on you.
Well, it's not really the honor system if there's a camera.
Well, too bad. You don't think I have a camera? I got a camera.
When police questioned Kiner, she told them she'd only been to the corn stand 3 times. She told police she was unhappy that her picture was on Facebook, falsely accusing her of stealing from the stand. Yeah, they got that picture from your family.
Well, I don't care for that particular picture. It's not flattering in any way, shape, or form.
As the questioning continued, investigators say Kiner said she's might have dementia because she's so forgetful.
Do these pants make my butt look big?
Someone else.
No, your fat ass does.
She said, look, I might have dementia because I forget things all the time. And someone else in my family had it. Kiner also disclosed that she has never once received an actual dementia diagnosis. Court documents.
But I'm throwing it out there.
Court documents say that after Kiner was shown 3 videos of thefts from the corn stand, she told investigators, quote, okay, I don't need to see anymore. I'm not going to sit here and watch all 18 videos of me helping my money from the corn stand.
I've got all the proof I need.
At that point, Kiner reportedly admitted to taking money from the mailbox and said she was sorry and that she would pay the money back.
But will ya?
Police came up with an estimate of anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 being taken from the corn stand. The owner said after crunching the numbers, they think the total loss for the missing cash and corn was about $2,000, but it could possibly be more.
As much as, oh, I don't know, $200,000.
Maybe we've got dementia. Maybe we forget things. Make it $200,000.
Give us another dollar.
Exactly. Keep it coming.
Give him an extra dollar.
Why not? She's now been charged with 18 counts of theft.
Ugh.
You're right. A little sign that says, please take the corn, help yourself.
Hello, friend, smile.
By the way, you're under video surveillance.
But, enjoy the corn.
Just don't eat too much.
Don't eat too much.
Gosh, she's been here 18 times in a couple of days. And it seems like we're not making any money.
We're not making a dime. What do you think's going on? The corn keeps disappearing.
That must have been
really... Took you 18 times to figure it out?
It must have been very satisfying for the investigators when she said, listen, I've only been there 3 times. And they showed her 3 videos, knowing that they had at least 15 more. And she's like, okay.
It's nice to have receipts.
that's enough. I just, again, this is something that must happen in small towns that I'm not familiar with, because I can't.
Yeah,
believe...
when I go down to Matunio,
yeah,
down to Mattoon, Soul Stash's neighbor will they do that, and they I think they even do it where they had a bunch of tomatoes out there at one time. Then, like in the fall season, they have little pumpkins and gourds and stuff. I think they even have like a scale where they basically say, this is how much we're charging per pound of these tomatoes or whatever.
Is that like a Indiana thing?
Illinois.
Well, Southern Illinois is practically Indiana.
That's true.
Is this something that happens in small towns around here? I can't believe in 2022 there are people who would just trust that.
Oh, I would imagine there are some people that have stands in the front yard out on a country road.
Yes, I've seen those, but I see people sitting in the stands, right? Or
no, I'm talking about a table out in your front yard.
And you
right
just,
by the road.
See, I guess when I've driven by those, my expectation is if I were to pull in, someone would come out of the house to help me make a purchase.
A lot of times they're just, no.
It's just all on the honor system, huh?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, part of me thinks that's charming, and it's kind of great that that's something that can still exist in 2022, but also, are you kidding?
We have proof it doesn't always work.
Well, yeah, right. Exhibit A, Your Honor.
But I would imagine out in the country here that goes on to some degree.
A million years ago when I was in school and all of my friends were from Northeast Iowa and they were, you know, all from farming families.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd go to there to visit their homes and they all kept the keys in the car. And
And
the reason they did that was it's just such a hassle. If you need to move the vehicle on the farm,
yeah,
you just move it.
Yeah.
And I remember just being blown away, like, everyone in this county leaves their keys in the car? Like, yeah, everybody does that. What if a neighbor has to move your car? Like, a neighbor has to move your car?
Right.
And it was as if I was from a completely different universe. Like, if anyone were to find out that you all just leave your keys in your car, there'll be no cars left. What are you doing? But no, they
yeah, I'm not
just,
sure that's the sort of thing I would ever do.
Right? Even if you lived in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, no.
I would think especially...
It's not that difficult to grab the keys.
Right. Well, but if the keys are in the house and you don't want to, you know... I mean, when they explained it to me, it made all the sense in the world. But also, what are you talking about? Well, everybody just leaves their keys in their cars because it's just much easier that way. Well, I understand, but you know who else that makes things easy for?
Yeah, for everyone. It makes it easy for everyone.
Everyone, exactly. Our text line, 470-23-NACHO, people reacting to this self-serve corn.
Yes, or produce.
And again, I guess I just don't understand how these things work. I'm not a rural chap. 563 says, I buy my firewood for camping that way.
Uh-huh.
And it's for... leaving the keys in the car way down in southern Iowa, they leave them running at Casey's with the windows down and everything. Sue texting in here saying there are at least three of those self-serve produce stands in the Milan Taylor Ridge area. It's probably more.
There you go.
So I guess I don't have to go all the way to Indiana to find this sort of thing.
No, just make your way to the country.
And then 309 texts... We have a self-service sweet corn stand. This summer, it was $5 a dozen.
Okay.
The worst people are the ones who come and just take 2 ears and leave 50 cents. I would seriously rather have them steal a whole dozen.
What?
$5 for a dozen ears of corn. The worst people are the ones who come and take just 2 ears of corn and leave 50 cents. I would seriously rather have them just steal a whole dozen. Yeah, just $5. Just put $5 in and take 12 ears of corn.
And then figure out what you're going to do with it.
It's like that bit where, is it Chris Rock in the movie where he's like, how much for just a sip of Coke and maybe just one rib? If you can't scrounge up $5 for the corn, then you don't
maybe,
get any...
Maybe keep driving.
Yeah, you don't get any corn. 50 cents. Here you go.
Number three.
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 It wasn't that long ago. There were stories, and you and I were the first to say, this is nonsense. This is them trying to scare you into buying something. But there was stories that, oh, there might be a candy shortage this year.
Yeah, right.
Maybe there are not going to be enough candy for Halloween. Yeah, you should get your candy now. Sure. There's plenty of candy on the store shelves.
Of course there is.
And I'm seeing now coupons that you can bring in the coupon for a big bag of candy. So the candy situation is fine for 2022 Halloween, right?
When will you make your purchase?
I was having this discussion with the missus last night, and I think we're going to be doing Rice Krispie Treats, packaged Rice Krispie Treats instead of the little candies. Yeah, because it's about the same price, and kids go nuts because you're getting a big Rice Krispie Treat.
And it's something different.
Yeah, it looks different in the bag, and I've been doing that for the last 2 years, and it's been a hit, and it doesn't cost really any more than getting a big bag of candy.
Now, who would be most likely to dip into the candy? Would it be you or her?
Oh, in terms of like leftover candy?
Yeah. If candy's around.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Or pretty much the same.
I'll say me.
Yeah.
I'm probably the horse to bet on there. But, you know, there's chocolate on all of our hands in that house. Let's not kid each other. The one who's the least likely to partake is the boy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, how much sense does that make?
See, now, I wouldn't have any desire to have any candy at all until it's like the end of the evening.
Yeah, right.
You know, like when you've already had your meal.
Well, this is how it works for me, usually. I get the big bag of candy. I open it up. I put it in the plastic witch's cauldron. And I think I should probably have one of everything just to make sure that it's okay.
What kind of reasoning is that?
I don't want the kids to get bad candy. Maybe the Three Musketeers has turned. I don't want a kid eating a Snickers bar with a peanut that is substandard. Darren, it's about being a member of the community and being invested in our children. That's what it's about.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
As far as things keeping.
Mm-hmm.
Because candy isn't going to keep forever.
Well, I think you'll find it does, but go ahead.
It'll last a decent amount of time.
Right.
But say you go out and buy yourself some Irish Spring soap.
Yeah.
Boxed soap.
I have done this very thing.
How long would that last? I mean, I think that would last for decades. Yeah. I mean, if it's a good soap that's not going to fall apart.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a good quality, and I'm not saying that Irish Spring is necessarily, people that know big soap might not even, but I would think a bar of soap could last for quite some time.
Well, here's the answer. Most commercial store-bought soaps expire after 2 to 3 years. Because the essential oils and fragrances can get rancid or moldy.
They can, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Most formulations of soap can be expected to last 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, what you're dealing with soap is stuff that will break down.
Okay.
And expire. So, no, you can't keep... If you get a deal on a pallet of Irish Spring soap and you think
2,000 bars,
this will be the last soap I ever purchase. Because soap is made by combining fats or oils from animals, vegetables, or mineral, and then you got some sort of alkaloid-like lye.
So they'd be doing the opposite of what their job is.
Right, right. So it might still lather up, but yeah, the oil in soap has a limited shelf life.
Because I got into some soap the other day that I've had for quite some time.
It's the same way that cooking oil in your pantry can go rancid.
Yes, no, I know that could go bad.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't expect that oil would go bad.
Yeah.
I would think, they found honey in the Pharaoh's tomb.
Honey's a different thing.
Yeah, honey's not oil. But what is honey other than oil of the bee?
That's right.
It's bee oil, essentially.
It's the oil of the bee.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mr. B.
One of the most pronounced indicators of expired soap is whether or not it lathers. If it lathers up, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You mentioned Mr. B. I had a situation where I didn't have internet at my house this weekend for a time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, for like a whole day.
It wasn't good. But it did force me to watch over-the-air television.
Yeah.
Because we have YouTube TV at my place.
Uh-huh.
And since we couldn't watch anything on the internet, I had to hook the antenna up and we watched... there's quite a few more digital channels than the last time I watched antenna television.
Uh-huh.
A couple of really cool options.
And you had an antenna that actually worked, huh?
Yeah, no, it works okay if I move it just a certain way. Anyway, I'm watching over-the-air television on Friday night and into Saturday
because
they couldn't send a tech out until like late Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And Hazel was on.
Sure.
And I got into the middle of it. Hazel said something and left the room, right? Hazel is it was a sitcom in the 60s. She was a maid who was sticking her nose into a family's business to a degree that, frankly, charges should be pressed, the way she involves herself in that family's affairs.
I think there was a lot of blackmail involved.
They're entertaining another couple.
Yes.
Hazel says something and leaves the room.
Dinner party.
Right. And then the housewife's like, can I get you more coffee? And her guest is like, no. And I think we need to get out of here right now. And then they cut to commercial. It was so awkward.
What?
It was so awkward. Like, what did Hazel say? Hazel said, dropped some sort of truth bomb, walks out of the room, and I was...
But you didn't hear it?
No, because I was flipping around. It was, you know, without being able to stream, I couldn't rewind or anything.
Not only do I not want your stinking coffee, I don't think we're safe.
She says to her husband, she's like, we need to get out of here right now. This is ridiculous. And then they just go to commercial. Like, what did Hazel do? What did she say?
Probably accused him of espionage.
Just made some sort of...
fantastic claim.
Where I was going with this at the beginning
She probably insinuated that they're cannibals.
I think you two are a bunch of man-eaters. What do you think of that, Mr. B?
Or maybe
I'll go get some cake.
Or maybe she gave the indication that she might be a cannibal.
I'm going to eat you all for dinner. What do you think of that, Mr. B? And she leaves the room. She's like, Hazel! And it was latter-day Hazel. It was like when the young couple was there. Remember? Because
When Hazel was micro-dosing?
Mr. B leaves, and then like a young couple comes and lives in the house.
Uh-huh. And Hazel's not going anywhere. And I come with the house.
And Hazel's
you too?
Not interested.
And by the way, being that we're going to be living so close together, I'd like to share something with you.
What's that, Hazel?
I go both ways.
Oh, Hazel. Where was I going with this before we went on our Hazel rabbit hole? Right, Halloween is here, and now it's to the point I was out yesterday and I saw where they're doing like 50% off all Halloween decorations. Everything's got to go.
Already?
Because, yes. They want all the Halloween stuff out of the stores to make way for Santa Claus.
Here it comes.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
We just got to be about...
Happy New Year to you in jail.
We are probably, and I'm not joking.
Yeah.
What are we, like 3 weeks away from Christmas music starting? 3 weeks, maybe?
Do they do it? They do it right around Halloween.
Because yeah, like they don't wait for Thanksgiving anymore.
No. Oh, no. Oh, heavens no.
No, they want the whole enchilada.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. There's a...
They want a good... Give me three months of it or something. That's what they want.
There's a school now that has set up a Santa cam in the classroom. And this is going over, I mean, some of the parents love it.
Santa cam, what do you mean? Like the elf on the shelf?
Yeah, it's exactly. Exactly. This mom, not happy with the idea that there's a Santa cam in the room. Because the idea is that, you know, Santa's watching over you to encourage good behavior here in the classroom.
That's what they used to tell us.
Right. Now, back in our day, Santa didn't have us under constant video surveillance. He just knew, right? He had like a magic telescope or something. Santa could watch you at all times. But the camera somehow is adding a level of creepiness where this... Mom says that her son is wondering if he's being watched all the time. And this mom's like, I don't know what to tell you. Because they don't do that in that house. She says, my son is in second grade. And today, He said someone asked what the red light was on the wall. It's part of the security system. And he told me the teacher's explanation was that it's a Santa cam and that they're everywhere to watch them to make sure they're doing good. We don't do Elf on the Shelf, etc., and we don't suggest he's being watched or checked on by Santa or anyone else for that matter. He asked me if he was being watched all the time, so I told him she was just joking with him. I really don't think the teacher should have said that, but my husband thinks I'm being a little too sensitive about it. It was just a lighthearted joke. Would you be annoyed about it, or am I overthinking it, she wonders. And people are kind of divided on this. Listen, the fact that there has to be surveillance cameras in your second grade classroom, that's heavy enough. So if the teachers are saying, oh, no, that's for Santa, like, I get it. That's probably a better thing to say to a second grader than the real reason there's cameras in the classroom, right?
Yeah. That's the reality.
Yeah. But this idea of, like, what do you want the teacher to do now? Say, listen, it's not for Santa. It's just...
It's for the Green Hornet.
You know? Batman watches this channel. Constantly under the eyes of Batman. If the Joker comes in here, he'll be in a flash.
Mr. Howard Hughes likes to watch what you kids are up to.
She says, to be clear...
From his penthouse in Las Vegas.
She says, to be clear, I'm not about to make any complaints or go storming to go confront the teacher. My son has an excellent teacher who I respect. I just thought it was an odd thing to say and felt uncomfortable that he thinks he's constantly being watched. It is kind of unnerving when you think about it, that that's the story. Santa can watch you all whenever Santa wants. That is a little
weird.
With
his big giant eye.
Right, it's a magic eye that he has in the clouds.
Yeah, big giant eye.
Well, Santa.
Not unlike Alan Parsons Project. Scared me half to death.
Apparently Santa's watching.
Apparently Alan Parsons Project and Santa.
Apparently.
Santa's gonna watch the Powerball. I've never been to the North Pole before. Scared me half to death.
Apparently.
Number four.
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 Daddy's home.
This video has gone viral, and please understand, listener, I'm aware that you won't be able to see this if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sharing it because it's just the best, and I promise you the audio is an absolute treat. You don't have to see this to be able to picture it in your mind. It's a fella who's on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
He's in a, it looks like a home office.
Yeah.
Let me just set the scene for you. He's got some sort of security camera that captures all of this. He's doing a Zoom call from work. He's in his office in front of his computer.
Yeah.
And in front of a Breakfast at Tiffany's poster that's on the wall.
Okay.
And for some reason...
He probably loved
Mickey Rooney's incredibly racist character.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's more of a George Peppard fan. For some reason, he's there doing the Zoom call in his home office, and he's got baseball bats in the room.
Okay.
There's one in the corner of the room here,
yeah,
on the opposite corner where he's sitting.
Yeah, there's one right behind him.
And then there's another one right by the window where he's doing the Zoom call from work. Now, during the course of the Zoom call for work, he hears something. And what he hears is somehow a squirrel has made its way into his home and, indeed, into his home office.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to hear this guy on the Zoom call. You will then hear him
react.
Discover the squirrel is there. And he grabs the baseball bat. Now, I also want to be very clear here. There is no bigger fan of the squirrel than Dave Q. Lavora.
Uh-huh. What's the Q stand for?
Quality. I believe this with all of my heart. Squirrels are proof of a loving God. The squirrel does not get hurt.
Yes, because if he did, can you imagine the trouble he'd be in?
Oh, if this guy beat the squirrel to death with a baseball bat?
To a pulp?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd be the first guy to say throw him in jail, even though the squirrel's in his house. You can't do that. But he's got the bat. Well, I don't think this fella could connect.
Well,
frankly,
he's fortunate he couldn't.
Yes. So with all of that said, we've built up the clip enough. Let's enjoy a gentleman on a Zoom call when a squirrel enters his home office.
Purposes of, you know, town hall, let's just get in to...
He has a spasm.
He hears something.
And
there it is.
Let's
Where is it?
Let's just get in.
Okay.
He thinks he's... I thought I heard something. Why would you... You know people are watching.
He does. He's so terrified of a squirrel.
My God. I don't know that I would... I'm serious. I don't know if I would react that way during a shark attack.
If it was an honest-to-God zombie.
Yeah, or even if... Or if it was a real zombie, I don't know that I'd be carrying on like that. And then the squirrel flings himself at him. That's not real. That's not real.
It absolutely is.
It's not real. Someone's throwing a fake squirrel at him.
No, because the squirrel moves. The squirrel is just jumping around.
Doesn't it look like someone's throwing the squirrel at him?
No, because it's a small room, and the squirrel is running and trying to bounce to figure his way out of the room. That's what's going on here.
The squirrel jumps and lunges at him.
Good for the squirrel.
I like that first reaction where he thinks he hears something.
Oh, no. Let's
Okay, then he slowly goes back to get the bat.
Just in case.
Why would you post that?
Well, this is the other question. The squirrel didn't post this video.
No.
This idiot did.
Yeah.
This is the guy who's like, I want everyone to see how I react.
How I react under pressure.
When an adorable squirrel is in my house.
When Chip meets Dip, this is how I react.
We're on this Zoom call. And
I'm just glad he didn't connect with the squirrel.
Yeah, the squirrel's going to be fine. It's the squirrel is not attacking him. The squirrel's just trying to figure out his way.
I think he's trying to get out.
My favorite part, too. I have so many favorite parts.
He's
got the bat, and he's got two baseball bats. I don't think this fella has ever really... choked up on one before, because he's swinging it like a mop. Like, what are you doing? The post was shared by his wife, Lauren, apparently. She was the one who wanted everyone to see this.
She double-crossed him.
She posted it on TikTok, saying that her family had been harassed by the squirrel a couple of days prior to this. So that's why this guy had the bats at the ready. And when he heard a noise, he kind of freaks out in his chair, like, what is that?
At first, it looks like he's had some sort of spasm.
Yeah, it does. He's going out of it. You're right. If you were in a boat with a baseball bat and Jaws was chomping on the boat, you wouldn't make noises like this.
I don't think I would.
So he was not the one who posted it. It was his wife.
She totally double-crossed it.
Uh-huh. Everybody, this is...
Yeah, this is the man of the house. Now do you believe me?
She captions it here, just your average conference call. Footage pulled from their security cameras at the house.
Do you need that much security in your office? How much security do you need in your home office?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have cameras all over their homes.
Oh, boy.
It says here that squirrels carry illnesses such as typhus and leptospirosis.
Okay, well then don't make out with one.
And can also bring parasites such as fleas and ticks. What is the guy on the other end of the conference call thinking?
Well, there could be 20 other people.
Who is that? We were having a nice Zoom call, and now it's all this. Yeah, his work colleagues. He did not hit mute before he had his freak out with the squirrel.
Well, it wouldn't matter. They can see you.
Jumping around with them.
Although, having said that, it's still better than Jeffrey Toobin.
It's call. There are much worse things you could do during a Zoom call.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a squirrel.
Who is, by the way, back at work giving America advice.
He's not anymore, though. Yeah. They got rid of him.
Okay.
They told him to beat it.
And he did.
Number five.
New study suggests that Americans swear 21 times every day.
That's all, huh?
I was going to say, nerds. What are you, a bunch of nuns out there? They surveyed residents of 30 major U.S. cities to determine which city swears the most frequency, or most frequently, I should have said. And it turns out the city that swears the most frequently is Columbus, Ohio, where they're pulling in 36 swears a day.
Now, would you consider me an average cursor, a below average cursor, or an excessive cursor? Because I don't know that I cuss that much. I mean, I say inappropriate things all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean,
in private.
In private, I would say above average.
Above average.
Well, if I'm being told that the average is 21 times a day.
Yeah, that doesn't.
I would not say excessive. I would put you in a zone that you did not offer as a choice.
Yeah.
I would put you in the zone of appropriate.
Appropriate
cursing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the rule in my house. You're allowed to swear as long as you're using it correctly. And it's appropriate. It's an appropriate response to whatever's going on.
Yeah.
You stub your toe, you can use whatever word you want. You know what I'm saying?
Well.
But if the chicken wasn't to your liking, I need you to rein that
you
in.
You don't need to go off on the chef.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't need to be a profanity laden
response to
the cook.
Right. Sorry. Sorry if you felt like the potatoes were overdone.
Yeah, or underdone. It just, you don't need to, yeah.
The average age Americans start using swear words is, what would you guess?
Oh, God.
The average 10? Age we start using, yeah, it's 11, it says here. Taboo situations Americans are most likely to swear include work. 69% of us feel good swearing at work. I probably swear more at work than anywhere else.
Well, you're probably more frustrated here than anywhere else.
Well, that's it.
69, dudes!
I can't get anything to work. Yes. I can't do my work! I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Right, so.
I can't do my work.
Also, in front of strangers is another taboo situation. Americans are most likely to swear in front of strangers. I don't swear in front of strangers.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I think there's a bit of a governor there, isn't
yeah,
there?
You have to kind of know the room that you're in before you're throwing out words like that.
If you don't, then you've certainly got a cursing problem.
That's it. If you don't give any thought to, I mean, you have that thought where you're like, I'm going to say a swear, and I feel like this is okay to do this. The other taboo situations where Americans are most likely to swear, 63% swear at the dinner table.
Again,
yeah,
it's okay if, as long as you're not beating up the person.
If we're talking
who made
about
the meal.
If we're talking about the day that you had at the dinner table,
that's one thing.
And you're telling a particularly story of particular frustration,
but attacking the meatloaf.
That's exactly it. Let's not use those words. As long as the words are pointed outward and not inward, or by that I mean at
this
me.
This meatloaf tastes like.
More than half of Americans will use swear word substitutions, like saying fudge or shoot.
Yes.
Sometimes. I find more often than not, though, I just use the real deal. I feel kind of silly at my age using words like fudge or shoot, you know? Uh-huh. Like if I'm talking to real little children, maybe, but
right.
By and large.
When are you talking to real little children?
Oh, you know. During all my volunteer time.
Are you some sort of mentor? you're a mentor to four-year-olds?
On average, respondents swear 21 times a day, younger generations more likely to use swear words. Gen Z swears 24 times a day. Baby boomers, 10 times a day. It also says here that men swear more than women. Men swear 22 times a day, where women swear 18 times a day. So there you go. Columbus swears the most. Congratulations. Chicago's on the list here of cities that swear the least. We're not a big enough metropolitan area to be ranked in this regard. I wonder where we would come if they were to rank the Quad Cities in terms of our swearability. We're Americans never use swear words. Well, we swear the most at ourselves, it turns out. And then we swear in front of friends, partners, coworkers, rarely in front of siblings, and almost never against with parents. The most common ways we use swear words are when you accidentally hurt yourself,
yeah,
when you're expressing road rage, when you receive bad news, when you're making a joke.
You do something stupid.
When you're arguing with someone, and when you're receiving good news. Good news or bad news, swear words, super appropriate.
Wow, I'd have to think. I'm trying to think back to when I got good news.
But if you did and you said, well, that's bleeping great, I could see, I think I would use it more. No, I would use it more with bad news than with good news, I should think, but you're right.
I just don't know. I don't have anything to compare that to. I would need an example, and I don't have one.
You gotta be beeping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was deeply satisfying. I'm glad we did it.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for listening to it, subscribing to it, downloading it, all of those things. If you get a chance, leave a review. That's very helpful when you do that. Yeah. Until we get a chance to give you another one of these Top 5 Things podcasts, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me. I am done.
Hey, Brian, want to get the rock out of here?
Rock, yeah.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.